ain't that way anymore, but that part of Appalachia's been changed forever. But there's some people out here worth saving. Now, we were used to seeing blimp traffic. Saw them all the time, being so close to Cleveland and all. But whenever you see a Medsurance blimp arrive, you know that can either be your shining light or if they're gonna snuff it out. Either way, not gonna forget about that day. Not when so many people get hurt all at once like that. It's... those things stay with you. Tend to, at least. But where was I? Right. You'd hope by the end of this there's a lesson to learn, but I can't guarantee that there is. What can you learn from a stranger's death? The value of their life? Would you think that value is a dollar sign or the people they impacted? What is the value of a human life? From what we learned, it's a dollar sign. But let's go back. Back to the Medsurance office in Cleveland. That small office next to the airfield. Mostly glass. The one that'll blind your eyes from a mile away with the help of Lake Erie in the morning sun. The one that shines a glare a mile away. Time to punch in. January 7th, 2295.
Hello and welcome, friends and enemies, to The Dungeon Rookie. I'm your host and Dungeon Master, Joe Monday. This is a show where I don't know anything about Dungeons & Dragons, but I know a lot about audio stuffs. I'll be running the game on D&D Beyond, and we're using a hack of Dungeons & Dragons 5e. The hack is that the players are allowed to do anything that they want, so long as they can explain it with science. Now, science can be phony. It could just be like, I throw a fireball, and it's because, like, you have a lighter and some spray paint or something. I don't know. That's just an example. But whatever is available within the rule set of D&D 5e is available in the rule set of this game. If they can explain it, I'll allow it. Fair's fair. Today's players are Anna, Nate, Tom, and Brian, in the order that you'll meet them. And bless them for putting up with my ignorance. Seriously, I can't thank these dudes enough. It was a blast. But before we get back to the action, I want to remind everybody that all of the tools that were used to record and edit and produce this show were all available for free. So if this is something that you're interested in, or something that you've been intimidated by, or you're intimidated by the rules of Dungeons & Dragons, don't be, because I don't know any of the... I still don't know any of the... We've recorded this session, and I don't know the rules. So it's fine. You'll be fine. Trust me. You can have a good time at the low, low cost of free... Well, time. The cost of time. So if you have some time to spend with some friends, this is a... I had a lot of fun. I would say it's a worthwhile experience. So let's get back into the game. Cheers, folks. I've had the players roll beforehand, and it looks like Anna, who's playing character Audrey Bubble, how are you arriving at work? When you enter the door, are you, like, prepared? Are you ready?
I'm so ready. I have a very smart Barbie pink pantsuit on. With lovely. Long blonde hair that is like stick straight, silky smooth, and a smart white pearl necklace and some dangly pearl earrings. And I'm just walking in the door confident like I own the place.
Lovely. You are greeted by Medbot. Medbot says, hello, how are you doing? He's so chipper and oh my god, every morning it's the same. Every Medsurance employee has a nickname. Every post has a nickname for their own Medsurance bot. What do you call your Medsurance bot, Anna? Or Audrey Bubble, I should say. Because you rolled a d20 and have arrived first at work, you get to name the Medbot.
You know, let's just go with... Hi, Stevie.
Is hi also part of the name, or is it just Stevie?
Well, it's going to have to be part of the name now.
Okay, it's Hi Stevie. Great. Love it.
Stevie's a HI model.
Yeah, it's an HAI Stevie. Yeah, I'll figure out an initialization for what that means in a moment. Very cool. So we'll go to the next person, Sprinkles. You're getting to work. How are you arriving to work, Sprinkles? Explain yourself.
Oh, I'm very put together. This is fine. I'm always very sharp, high collar. Usually my books and writing the notes and coming in.
Can you quickly explain your character? Because you are, although this is a world of humans in the future, you are a giant cat. I think we have to talk about that.
Yeah, sure. So, when I had graduated as a psychologist and a people that likes to study people and has some patience. What word am I looking for? My common is very bad. Anyways, not a problem. Knowing that working with patients, typically they react better to the fluffy animals, yeah? So I had decided to become the fluffy animal. Very trusting. Turns out this was not the case. And in order to keep my license, I must work with this company.
Medbot says hello to you. Hello, Sprinkles. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you. And I scuffle to my office.
Next to arrive is Jeff Normalman.
So walking through the door, there's this 300-year-old gnome. He's wearing a white button-down shirt with a... He's wearing his red, his power tie. He's got the red tie on for power. And you can kind of see some of the coffee stains off to the side, just icking out just a little bit. A little bit untucked, a little bit not well kept together. And he just comes scuffling in the door, little glasses on there, pocket protectors at the ready. Looking tripper, looking happy. Jeff Normalman.
Hello, Jeff Normalman.
Good morning, hi. Hi, Stevie. It's so weird to say to you hi twice, but I've done it every day for 300 years, but only 65 days left, and then I retire. Hi, Stevie. Do you get to retire?
I love your jokes, Jeff Normalman. Welcome to work.
No, I wish my ex-wife did. And he scuffles off to his office to work.
Love that guy. And the final person to arrive at work is Chester Poutine Cordini. How do you arrive?
Quietly, as if I was already there, but obviously I'm the last person to arrive. But just, you know, toss myself at my desk. If I could describe Chester's appearance,
Chester.
It's Santa adjacent.
Okay.
He's lived a life. He is here to do the job. At the one work activity or after work activity he participated in, he drank a little too much, so you know that Chester has been to prison. And right now he's putting in time in a different way. He is here to do the thing. He doesn't really socialize, but he is absolutely present.
Can I get you?
You might not know it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I said you may not know it, but he'll inevitably be behind something.
Fair enough. Can I get you to roll a deception check real quick, Chester?
Chester excels at those. Oh, so that would actually be... All right, so that would have been stealth, which would be two more.
Okay, that's fine. You've arrived at your desk. You're sitting down. I want to say like a minute after you've had your first sip of coffee, behind you, you hear, "Hi, Poutine!" It's Medbot.
Chester, who, you know, prefers poutine, because, you know, the alternative is Chester, visibly seizes up a little and then turns around slowly and says, "Hello, Steve.
Have a great day!"
It sure is, Steve.
That's not my full name. Have a great day. All right, so you have,
and
you see,
I turn back around.
You see, by the way, HI stands for Health Advisory, period, intelligent. As if, like, as if someone was like, we have to describe this product. It's a health advisory, but it's also intelligent. So that's
well, I mean, if you remember, the original HA series ended poorly.
Oh, yeah, they were not intelligent. The original health advisories, unintelligent, as it turns out. But these ones, whew, they'll get you by.
Intelligent.
So you've just got an email. A big yellow button appears. It's like, you have an email. You can read it. You don't have to. Does anybody want to read the email?
I mean, obviously, we're
here
to
work. The answer could be no, to be clear.
No, I'll read the email.
All right.
Love an email. It's electronic mail.
All right. So Poutine is opening up this mail. The email states... This is your boss, Dennis. I need all your asses to be in Fairport Harbor as of 5 hours ago. High priority preventative care was scheduled earlier today, and I have to hear it from MedBot that you're all still in Cleveland. Patient's name is Crawford Campbell, 4 minute more in assault. Get there. That's what the email says.
All the best bosses remind you they're the boss.
A red light starts to... what's like the, now I'm blanking. Hey, what's on those fire trucks, you know, that like has that big red swirly thing, you know?
Like an alarm
light? Siren?
Yeah, like an alarm light. Wait a minute.
Siren's just like a sound.
Is there an alarm, wait a minute. The alarm light, is there a name for that thing? The spinning
light? Yeah, on top of the fire truck, it's called a siren.
Okay. So that starts to ring, and... you see that it is an alert for an emergency insurance policy that requires immediate attention. You see that the policy is for a Crawford Campbell, again, at the Morton Salt Company, marked high priority and requesting immediate preventative care. How do you want to get there? Because you have a couple options. Actually, fuck no. You don't have options. You're taking the dirigible. Here's the thing. I was going to give you a couple options. One of them is a blimp. You're going to take the blimp.
Okay.
I don't.
Honestly, Joe, if you had given us options and dirigible was one of them, it doesn't matter the other options that you gave us.
Exactly. The medical dirigible.
Unless there was
a
moped.
Right. No, there's no medical moped. There is a medical dirigible. Who wants to pilot? Is there ever a contention of who wants to pilot the medical dirigible?
No, because I prefer to do my Sudoku the whole time.
I've been preparing for getting my pilot license for when I retire in 64 days. I don't know if you guys knew I retire in 64 days. Jeff Normalman. So I actually know how to fly a dirigible. I'm a junior dirigible engineer. A direngineer.
Well, he mangled that, but yeah, it's the direngineer.
Okay, Joff, you go ahead and fly.
It's Deringineer is what you're going with?
Jeff Normalman, amateur Deringineer. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your show of support, Ms. Bubble.
So I was going to make a joke about grabbing phone books from to sit on, but this is the future, so I don't know what he can sit on.
I mean, you could...
I feel like the seat would just move.
Sure.
Oh, maybe.
So what are you all... See, wait, you know what? No. The seat doesn't move. It is set at one height for what is considered an average height, which is like they took the white American man height and decided that's the height that the seat goes to.
5'8", but it says 6 feet?
Yes.
The seat is set fine, but it turns out that it's probably automatic because it's the future and you just punch in things and go sit down.
Nope, it's just like a chair. It's just a chair.
If it was automatic, it wouldn't work for black people.
Better off Ted reference.
That show was great.
That's actually a thing, though. Like the
yeah, it really is.
You stick your hands in front of the motion sensor.
We got dark real fast. All right, continue.
we're gonna keep it white real fast. So he.
Well, we are in Ohio.
I'm out.
Jeff sits. What are you all doing on the trip to Fairfield? Because it's a where was it? Where did I say your Fairport Harbor is where you're going to. I've included an image in the DM notes. This is an actual place. You are going to a salt mine. You are going to the Fairport salt mine. But on the way, let's say it takes a half hour or so. What are you all doing on the dirigible to prepare? Does anybody want to read anything? Take a look out the window. It's up to you.
I am reading Twilight for the 10th time.
Are you talking about
The graphics?
Like the year, the Twilight as we know it, Twilight, or is this future Twilight?
Stephanie Meyer Twilight.
Okay, so it's just Twilight as Twilight. Are you, what part of the book are you in right now?
Let's see. Bella just found out that Edward is a vampire.
Oh my god.
It's huge. He's huge.
It's huge. then Poutine, what are you doing?
Well, unfortunately, Poutine is taking his last chance very seriously, so he's probably studying whatever data we would study before we go to one of these things.
Sure. I can give you some info. What kind of info would you be looking for?
That's my question for you. So what would we know going into... So it was a medical emergency, person's still alive, so we're not doing, post-mortem insurance stuff. So we're going to, help. What would we know going into that?
So, as per the insurance policy, you can read the insurance policy. Because that was what got you on the ship. An emergency insurance policy. And what you are... What is part of that is preventative care. So you have the name of the person, you have the location, you don't have any of their current medical information. You have a picture of them, the person. They're a larger white dude that has a face that is, Martin Scorsese's face. How, regardless of how he, whatever.
Turn it around.
yeah. It's just whatever face he's making, it's bad.
So I hate him immediately.
Yeah, you open up the file and you're like, okay. Well, I guess we gotta see what preventative care that you can do or provide.
Fuck this guy. I'll go back to prison for this.
Okay, so maybe look out the window then for...
you can't invoke Skrelly and expect me to help.
No.
But what's the actual policy? So preventative care, do we know, is it just that vague when we're going in? Do they not tell us more than that?
Preventative care from your... Do a history. Can you do a history check?
Bet your ass. The best at history.
Awesome. So you know that this could mean anything. This could mean that because of the lack of information, it immediately spikes your... You were like, oh man, something is amiss here. Which usually means emergency insurance policies that require attention immediately for preventative care usually fall under the, you need to protect this person's life now. They are going to be in danger. They're not in danger right now, but they will be. And there is something about the way that, because they didn't provide any previous medical history, there's no information height, weight stats, or history for this person's medical health. It is just this person's life. This is the amount of money that their life is worth. And for a roll that good, you've rolled a 23. 20 plus 3, so that's a nat 20. Wow. You can see that this person's life is worth, let's call it... oh, that was a low roll. 10,000 dollars. Let's call it $10,000. Is this person's life insurance?
So nothing.
No. Let's go $10 million. Let's go $10 million for this person's life. Because
this
so
could be
low.
This could be Ohio bucks. This could be Ohio bucks.
Sure. Yeah. No. You know what? Yep. 10 Ohio dollars, which is worth $10 million.
Joe, I believe the term is Buckeyes. The term is Buckeyes.
Okay, 10 Buckeyes.
That's what Bucks is short for.
10 Buckeyes. That's the Ohio dollar. All right.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Me either. I'm out.
Don't worry, because Jeff...
I apologize in advance for us spreading out.
Because, Jeff, you know, you were very excited to drive this this dirigible.
That's right.
Roll a what would, like, the best pilot thing be? Dexterity. Run dexterity.
Oh, no. All right. I have a minus one on dex checks. Hold on.
I'm okay with this.
It's a blimp. How fast could we crash?
10.
Well, that's a 9.
Okay, yeah, that's a 9 with the modifier. Mm-hmm. And you know, here's the thing about the trip from the salt mine in Fairport Harbor from Cleveland. It's a flat shot. There is nothing between you and Fairport Harbor. And I mean nothing because there are no buildings. There is nothing above ground in Cleveland anymore. For a history check that you rolled earlier, I'm going to give you an extra bonus on this one, is that you know, and you have kind of explained to everybody, I'm talking to Poutine.
Chester.
Poutine knows the lore on this. Chester knows the lore. Is that in 2092, the granddaughter of Yoko Ono, April Ono, bombed the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Years of music history were lost and destroyed forever. And also all of Cleveland. April Ono's final message was, finishing the work my grandmother started, prayer emoji, purple heart emoji, Yoko. That's, you let them know that's why it's such a straight shot.
Hashtag blessed.
Even though it is a flat straight shot to the harbor, to Fairport Harbor. It is still kind of like a bumpy road, and you are all looking at Jeff like, this guy, like...
I know there's a classic station somewhere in this dirigible. Dirigineers talks about getting the radio to the right frequency, not looking at the road, literally just fucking with the radio.
And it's, like, set to autopilot, too, so, like, it's just going to go there anyway. Like... All right.
This place is like a half hour from me.
I know this place is a real place. Like
it's super cool. No, I know of it. This is like what's the place that's on fire in Pennsylvania?
Gosh.
Anyway, that's my request for next. I call next.
Don't worry. I have plans for a fucked up Pittsburgh. Don't worry about it. Listen, Pittsburgh caught wind of that blast. Don't you? It wasn't a good thing. What April Ono did was
reprehensible. No one's arguing that.
So much history. All right, so you arrive on site to this to the salt mine, the Morton Salt Mine. You've landed in their airfield, and you looking about, you can see that there is a check-in register for like a entrance to the grounds, with a one man with a gate, You can see far behind him, there's just mountains of salt piling up. Maybe there's a field office in the back. You can also see the entrance to the mine, which is just a big fucking hole in the ground, and it goes down for a while. What do you do?
I'm going to run up to Poutine and everybody else and be like, I just want to let you all know that winning the award from the company to go on one of these was the best thing. I have been waiting 250 years to do this. What do we do now?
Oh, honey. First we get you a life.
Are those in the company store?
Yeah, we got a lot of things to unpack with you, but first let's get this done.
All right, so there's the guard booth up ahead. I should also say that this whole area is gated off. You have to go through the guard booth.
Well, I think we go over there.
Fair enough.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's go find Joe, what was the first name? The last name was Crawford, right?
Crawford. You can just go find Crawford. So,
okay. I guess I will walk up to the guard gate and say, hey, how you doing? We're looking for a Crawford.
Crawford? I don't... who?
Yeah, man, I know. Samesies. Hold on, let me look in this file. What was his first name?
You see his name and you have what his job is. That's at least listed. He's the...
Oh, okay.
He's the foreman. You can just say the foreman.
Oh. I guess he's the foreman? We're from his insurance company.
Oh. Medsurance. Okay. He recognizes like the insignia now. He goes, man, what, something happened?
Yeah. Confidentiality. We are not.
Yeah. HIPAA. So.
Oh, right. Yeah. You should get right in. You're going to need visitor passes though. Can I get you, I'm going to need some visitor. Can I just get you all to write down on the, he's like kind of pushing, pen and paper on a clipboard towards your way. It just says like arrivals. Will you all sign it?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't see why not. We're here on official business.
Great. Yeah. Here quickly to, you're not actually allowed on site unless you get, I cannot let you in without, proper safety gear. So here, take these. And all he hands you is just these yellow high-vis jackets. That's the only safety gear that he can put.
Do these come in a different color?
Nope.
Oh.
I cannot let you in without... you got to put on the safety gear. It's very important.
Fine.
I mean, legally, ma'am, I can't let you in past this gate without throwing on that high-vis. You know how it is.
I see. It's fine.
While I'm signing the document, I want to do something that I can do as a scribe gnome. Hold on, let me find this.
Okay.
What the hell?
Yeah, all right. It's fucked up. So
sorry,
I am
head to add me to my inventory.
Head to add what's your inventory?
PPE.
Oh, yeah.
sorry for those of you not in construction.
Everybody
but...
gets some PPE.
I thought you said you had to pee-pee on your inventory, and I was very concerned.
He's claiming
yes,
it.
Yes, I am Popcat. It's none of your business. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, like, you absolutely
this is my
do
inventory,
market.
And you cannot have it.
Where is it? Hold on. I got to find this. I have this really sick ability that would be perfect for the signature log. Hold on.
By the way, Sprinkles, the guy at the front gate goes, he was going to ask for that back when you came out the other side, but it's just like, you know what? Keep that. That one's yours now.
I did not do the PPE. My English is not so well.
He either claimed the PPE or he was really upset that the guard was gone for more than 15 minutes.
Hopefully the guard didn't have a glass of milk or anything sitting on the counter.
So as a scribing gnome... Maybe I don't get a special ability, but basically I have proficiency with words, and almost like written on objects can speak to me. And I'm trying to figure out how I would use that, but maybe it's not letting me.
Roll wisdom.
Okay.
Cool. You look at this page for like way too long, and the guy at the guard's like, "Yeah, hey, buddy, you is this your name?
The handwriting is just it's so articulate." And I'll just like kind of give him a creepy look and sign my name suggestively, and then slide it across the table at him.
I hate your character.
He also notices that you were like looking at the other names on this list, like, but you do not recognize any of these names. It's just like regular ass, like, and there's not like anything that's like state business. It's just name, time of entry.
Fair.
Maybe you like pretend like it has spoken to you, but you just pass the clipboard back. cool. person at the guard of the gate goes, so I don't know where Crawford is now, but I don't know, he's got a field office, but yeah, I mean it's during work hours now, so I don't know where to point you.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna throw a little powder in this guy's face and cast Charm Person.
Okay.
That is a DC of... It's a wisdom save of 13.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely... It hits this guy. What do you want to do to this guy? What are you doing?
My friend, look. We are new here. We have to go look through this place. It's very large. Can you at least perhaps take us on a short tour and... lead us to places where maybe we may find this man.
You know what? I can't leave this gate. I have to... Oh. But I have to... What if someone comes in and I need to sign them? Who's going to hand out the high-vis jackets? I need to...
Hey, bud. Hold on a second. What was your name?
Hey, thank you for asking. You actually didn't ask it. Name's Mint Fishigan.
Oh, man. You know we're from the insurance company, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you think you can maybe get somebody here to find Crawford for us?
I know just the guy. I'll radio him. I'll radio him right now. Is that all right?
Aw, thanks, man.
That would be so wonderful.
He gets on the radio. Go ahead.
For your reference, Joe, Charm Person... that wears off after an hour, and they know they were charmed by me afterwards. So,
in Mint's defense, who wouldn't be?
Yeah, honestly,
really, anyone who meets a cat.
In Mint's defense, he is like this is the best thing that's happened to him all day. Like, you cast a thing on him, and like he has just been handing out high-vis jackets to like. In signing visitor badges, like being he wants to help you.
Ohio friends,
he is making this call right
That's
now.
That's all we've got.
And the person who arrives, let's give them a name. Let's go with this is Hank. Krause. And what happens is a man who, you look at his face, what's everybody's perception? Oh yeah, you notice it right away. This man's jaw is wired shut. It is, something bad happened to this man's face. Like, it got hurt in a way. You don't, maybe you don't know exactly how, but you enough to get his jaw wired shut. He pulls around on like a little buggy, like those little, it's like a golf cart with bigger wheels, kind of. They sell them to like people who hunt to be like, you can carry a deer on it, but it's like he's using it for like people moving, right? And Hank arrives and he kind of waves to Mintfish again and Mint goes, "Hey, Hank, yeah, you want to take these guys? Maybe find Crawford. They're looking for Crawford. You know Crawford? Know where he is?" And Hank kind of replies back, "Don't know where Crawford is, but I could drive you around. I'd be happy to drive you around the site."
"Yes, yeah, that sounds nice. It's very large."
"Well, thanks, Hank. We'd be obliged."
"All right, hop in." All right, you all hop in. And Hank says, "Well, welcome to the Morton Salt Mine, I guess. I mean, we should check his office first. That's what I would do if I had an office. I would be there. Heck, this thing's basically my office, and I sit in here all day. Come on, we'll go on to Croft Campbell's office. Let's go."
"Well, thanks, Hank. That sounds great. Say, what do you do here?"
I drive this buggy. I do tours occasionally. If there's like kids who want to see Salt Mine, I could. That's what this radio is for." And he hits a button that just like.
"Well, hey, kids, you ready to learn about salt?"
He immediately turns it off. He goes, "Damn, I heard that song."
Hank, is your well, I've read some books on, you know, medicine and such. Is that a double twist knot they got there on that wire shut? Like what happened there, bud?"
"Oh yeah, my jaw got done fucked up real bad. Oh, your salt? I'm scared. Funny thing, though, I done did this. This was myself. This was self-inflicted. I was carrying something way too heavy, and I just, that salt block just fell right down on my damn old head, and then, you know, you can't eat solid foods for a while, you know? It's funny. You work with salt, and then you can't even salt the food that you eat. That's just, oh, man, what a nightmare. That's my life."
"Do you, I gotta, does it chafe? Does it
It hurts every day.
Yeah, do you mind if I just," and I reach into my pocket and I pull out this orange thick tiger balm looking liquid. I've been reading these books and this is like at night, it'll just soften up your cheeks, make it not hurt as much. You mind if I just give that a shot for you, bud?"
"Oh man, I'm willing to try anything. Go right ahead."
"All right, and I'm just going to pop the bottle open. And like, this is literally just like fucking grease and food coloring. And I'm just going to like.
What color food coloring?
Like oranges, so it looks like Tiger Balm.
Orange brown, like
yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
Burnt shit orange.
Mm-hmm.
Does this do anything?
Nope, sure doesn't. It is literally like it's basically Vaseline, honey, and food coloring.
Okay. Well, that's gonna be sticky.
All right,
I think Hank goes, "Oh man, thank you for this, man. Actually, my cousin told me about his tiger balm. He puts basil in it. You ever put a little basil in your tiger balm?"
"I haven't, but I bet the scent would just be phenomenal."
"You
just
really should just use witch hazel."
"Witches?
Witches? Not in this Christian household."
"Audrey, witches. Ohio.
Witch hazel, it's just an herb."
"Audrey, you're going to need to pull like a, do a performance check real quick. If you can pull yourself, because he has given you looks."
"Yeah, let's go ahead and I'm going to give her an bardic inspiration on this one."
"Okay.
Where is it?
And I will tell her, "No, yes, please tell him about the medical benefits of the witch hazel." So that's this level I think it's 1d6.
Okay, so if you, performance is charisma check, so you have plus one to that.
Okay, I got 15.
Okay.
Plus one, 16.
Plus a d6.
Yeah, I got a one on that.
Okay, it's enough, and he goes, "All right, which, not actual spells, you're not doing, well, you're not, boil of trouble. You know, all that."
"Oh, no, Halloween no, hocus shit. Pocus.
Okay, I do like that Sarah Jessica Parker. Anyway, here we are."
The classic film star, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, she was in Hocus Pocus. Don't,
she was.
Don't you get
she
it was. Twisted.
I'm just, you know, it's 40 years on or whatever.
Yeah. You're like 100 years in the future, my guy. You have arrived at the field office. The field office is a it's just like a pretty common office trailer. It's a couple steps up to the front door of it. Everything is dusty in a salty, dry way. I don't know if you've ever like been on a job site before, but there's just like dirt dust when earth is being moved. But in this case, because it's salt all around, it is just everything is dry to the touch. But you are in front of...
What is your policy on dust control out here?
Policy?
All right. That's right. We're in Ohio. No worries. No worries.
States' rights. God, I bet when it rains, the people's skin just, like, sloughs off.
It's not good.
Oh, it could be.
Listen, the only safety measures that you got, I will remind you guys, was the high-vis yellows that...
Yeah, no masks.
We know.
That is literally the only safety that you... that has been visible on site. You are in front of the field office. You can go. You can enter if you like.
I'm going to hop up and scamper up to the door and knock.
Scamper.
There is no answer to the knock.
The door knock. Hank, do you got a key for this?
Did you try the door yet?
I was gonna.
It's just a lot.
I look back gleefully when Hank says that at Chester, and I'm like, I knew a thing, and I'm going to turn the doorknob.
It opens. It is not like it is not locked in the least. You open up the door. There are two different desks, lots of paper scattered on them, lots of salty dust. There's a computer on one of the desks, and there's a... There's a poster of a sexy lady.
It's a job site.
What was the... Is it Saint... what's that beer that has the lady on it?
Saint Pauli.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got it's got a big poster of the Saint Paul girl on it.
Now I'm embarrassed that I answered so quickly.
No, it's okay. I feel like anyone who has worked in a field office at some point that was set up by an old man seen this poster. Like, I don't...
100%.
What Nate's not telling you is he has that same poster above the toilet in his bathroom.
Hey, if I didn't, the guys in the shop would kick my ass.
Exactly.
One of my clients is a concrete pourer, and we put in a security system for them. So I spent a couple days there, and in one of their, like, side offices, that it's, like... This is where we put the girl posters, except all the girl posters are from, like, the late 90s. And I am talking, like, this is a couple months ago. So these ladies are older than me.
And I'm freaking 40. Vintage smut. We're going.
But it's still on the wall, and it's incredible. It was my favorite part of that job.
That is not dissimilar to what this office is like, then. I'll put it that way. Okay. It is whatever you have in your mind for that office. That's what this one is.
I'm already there.
But there is... July 2014 was a good year for calendars.
But there... Oh, yeah, there is absolutely an old calendar that is just open to a page that this Crawford Campbell enjoys, which should tell you all you need to know about this person. you have... But there is nobody here. The office is empty. What do you do?
I take a quick look around and just... Because we don't really know what we're... Right now, we're just looking for Crawford. But I'm suspecting, like, shenanigans are about. So I'm just going to take, like, a quick look around without, like, digging too deep into anything and just see if anything looks, like, strange.
Sure. Run a... Perception 16. Okay. I'll tell you that... On the desk, there are a lot of, like, employee documents, let's say, that they've all just... They're all really strewn about the desk in a very untidy pile. It's just, like, files on employees, let's say. And they're all scattered about.
Charts.
It doesn't really even have all... It's just, like, information and then just says, like, this is this employee's contact information. This is, like... This is their policy on them that we have. It just very basic, what does the company own about this person's stats? Which is
everything.
Like, honestly, there's probably a similar pile in your medsurance office about that has all of your names on it.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be here otherwise.
Exactly. So, like, it's... I will say that with a roll of 16, that it seems as though there's a lot more papers on his desk than... Like, he's got a computer. Why he's got so many papers on his desk? What's going on? That seems a bit off.
That's to make the paper.
That's the one thing. Anybody else want to fuck around with this office?
Yeah. Any specific work orders or schedules?
Roll perception.
Ah, excellent.
I like how he said "ah" with an accent.
Ah, yes.
Stay in character. I'm an actor.
Okay. Low roll.
That's a total of 6.
Low roll, 6. You just...
I'm also a cat, so I'm knocking things off of some of the desks.
You actually knock all of these papers over. There's... So that you don't know if it's like hired employee. You don't know if it's like inbox, outbox. You don't know if it's like these people are hired, if these are applications anymore. You've done a number on this office by just like what you did. You know what you did is that when you went to grab it, your hand went out normally as if to grab, like, but the cat part of you took over and just swiped everything off of the desk.
I don't know what it is, but something about being in this form is really fucking me up right now.
But you are holding one paper, and it is just it's a new applicant, let's say, is the one paper that you pull out of the pile.
Ah, yes. I set it down gently and pulled my arm so I don't disturb anything else.
Great. Audrey, you fucking around this office at all? Fully tossed.
Is there like a filing cabinet anywhere?
Sure.
I would like to rifle through a filing cabinet.
All right.
This is a fantasy world.
Inside of the...
I'm so upset with their IT company.
Let's say there's a filing cabinet, but it is locked. You want to get in there?
Oh,
no. I'd like to try and pick it with this bobby pin I pull out of my hair.
All right. Let's what's the best roll for...
Dex.
Dex? Do dex roll.
Probably sleight of hand.
Oh, yeah, sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With you is +3.
Ooh, I get a 9.
You break this lock. But you get in. You get in, but you break it.
I mean, it's a file cabinet. It's probably 100 years old.
What happens is that you stick your bobby pin in there, and it just sticks in there. But it opens. Like, it does, like, pop the thing enough to be like, pop. And you also cannot close it anymore. Inside is a handgun. Do you take it?
Yeah, why not? I give it to the gnome.
Whoa, okay. You are giving Jeff Normalman a gun.
I took a shooting class 10 years ago.
To be clear, you just broke into a filing cabinet, found a gun, and gave it to your friend. Like, that's what happened. You casually picked it and went, here you go, Jeff.
Ohio. States' rights.
Finders keepers.
She has a right to defend herself against the gun that's in the cabinet.
Jeff, it's Constitution carry, so we're not worried.
All right, so Jeff, do you want to, like, do you want to equip the gun, I guess?
I see this in the movies, and he untucks his shirt, and he tucks the gun into the front waistband, and he just gently drapes his white button-up shirt over it.
So hardcore.
Damn, that's hard.
Jeff Normalman, gun carrier.
The career criminal is watching in silence.
Look. All right, but it does look like Crawford's not here, so that's I think that that's maybe all you're going to get out of this field office. But you can.
Did Hank come in with us, or did he wait outside?
Was Hank just hanging outside?
We're just like tossing this fucking office.
No, Hank did not leave the bug. That, like he said, that his
that's office. His office.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, that's Hank's office. All right. He didn't leave. He heard you.
Like, are there any, like, family pictures or anything?
Unless it's a 140-year-old Farrah Fawcett poster, his family.
I'm a descendant of the Fawcett line.
I'm going to say no, that there's not family portraits, but there are, like, pictures of Crawford, like, after
holding
having,
up a
like,
fish.
No, yeah, like holding up a fish. Yeah, like it's like a hunting thing, right? Like it is.
Crawford, fish fear him. Women fear him. Yeah.
Everything fears him.
All right, guys, we gotta get out of this place. We're hitting too much reality. I come here for fantasy.
All right, he's holding up a giant fish, but it is a picture of Crawford. Like you can, like it is that punchable, that same punchable face. He's holding that a big whopper. He's holding a big whopper.
I mutter on the way out that that's CGI.
You want to take it?
No, I don't want to take it. I don't care. Oh, well.
Yeah, I take the picture.
Yeah, that's fine. You can have a picture of a person to help find. That seems like a reasonable thing to do on a giant job site.
For reasons. Don't worry about it.
All right. You walk outside then back to the buggy with Hank. And Jeff, Norma, can you run a sleight of hand real quick?
Sleight of hand for Jeff Normalman, gun owner.
Let's see. Open carry gun.
You're welcome.
Thank you. This is the best day of Jeff Normalman's life. Uh-huh. I need you all to know this.
Do me a quick. You have no idea who owns this gun. You haven't looked into this gun at all. You just.
I disagree. Loaded? I know exactly who owns this gun. It's Jeff Normalman.
Does he though?
Jeff Normalman, gun borrower.
Is it even
Tom,
loaded?
That's incredible. That's
sleight of hand.
Incredible.
Two.
Cool. As soon
oh
as you.
God.
As, oh, man. Jeff Norman, you sit in the front seat with Hank, and Hank goes, God damn, man, sick piece. Damn, man, can I see that shit?
Of course you can. Course
he sees
you can
your
see
handgun
it.
And is immediately like, damn, that's cool.
That's right, Hank. Jeff Normalman.
I'm
going to
ask you a question, Jeff Norman. Can Hank touch your gun?
Of course he can. Hank's my new friend. Check this out, boy. And I pull the gun out of my pants and I hand it to Hank.
Hang on. I need a visual here. What size of gun are we talking? Are we talking like a 9mm MP shield? Or are we talking like a 44 Magnum Dirty Harry gun?
Jeff is 3 feet tall.
Because Jeff is a gnome.
So it's just this like, you know what? I hadn't considered that, but it is a... It is a big magnum. Like, it is a handgun-ass, like...
It's, like, as long as his thigh.
It is as, like, it is hard for him to walk out of, like... That is immediately how Hank noticed it. It's that, like, on the steps down...
Doing, like, the stanky leg.
Talk about a third leg.
You have to walk down those stairs in a very awkward, like... like, just... Just so you don't shoot your own knee off.
Also, to be clear, this may be Ohio in the far future, and I know it's still Ohio, but it's not gnome, it's little person.
That's true.
Oh, fucking hell. So Hank takes this handgun and kind of like waves it around and like he stands up. In the seat of the buggy, and he goes, "Wah, yeehaw!" Like, and does like pretends to shoot. He doesn't shoot it, but he goes like, "Pew, pew, pew!" And he goes, "Yeah, man, good balance on that one. Good shit, man." And hands.
Oh yeah, I mean, obviously he knows trigger discipline.
Oh yeah, his finger never touched. Like it was straight the whole. Like you could see very clearly this Hank has very good trigger discipline. He has handled a gun before.
Has he handled this gun before?
No, because he's never seen it before. He thinks and he believes that that gun belongs to Jeff Nolman.
Man, I can't believe you got this past security.
Take the gun, slide it down my pants, and then I'm going to cast, when he does that, I'm going to look over at Hank, and I'm going to wave my hands over it and cast Minor Illusion, and the gun handle's going to turn bright gold.
Oh my god. Does that just happen? Is that a skill that happens?
It's a cantrip, so...
How does that work, Tom? Magically? I mean, scientifically?
Yeah, scientifically, how do you... What happens when you do this?
So, Jeff Normalman, he's watched a lot of magic tutorials on the YouTubes.
I was hoping you were going to say Bill Nye. Mm-hmm.
And so he knows... It's a lie. He actually just carries, like... gold paint in his pocket, and he just like rapidly painted the handle with like his whole palm using sleight of hand and the trick of illusion, but it's a sparkly gold paint. Shoo.
Hank is extremely impressed by this. Hank is like, wow!
This is why Jeff spent all those years mastering the art of close-up magic.
Jeff Normalman.
Hank immediately yells, "Mind freak!" Because my mind is freaked. You don't freak my mind, man.
Thank you. All right. Let's get this tour going.
Hey, I guess Crawford wasn't in his office, yeah?
Nah, man, he wasn't. Do you know where else he'd be? If he's not there, where's he likely to be?
He's definitely in the mine. He's definitely down in the mines. Then we're gonna have to take a trip. So you're gonna have to go through. Get your high vis on, and we're gonna head down into the. We had to head down in there because I can't think of anywhere else you'd be. And he kind of turns the wheel of the buggy and starts heading towards that black dark entrance to the tunnel. You guys want to head into the tunnel?
Absolutely.
Is there any disagreement, or are you heading?
He's in.
Nah, foreboding tunnel? In.
Yeah, absolutely.
Audrey's going to look disgusted, but she'll still go.
All right. So the entrance of the tunnel is a really long slope downward. It is kind of a long drive, actually. By the time that... you can tell that you're going down, and you can tell that you've gone a far distance, because the mine itself is underneath of the lakes, of Lake Erie. It's fully underneath of it. So you are kind of back to... It's like you've kind of doubled back almost. But anyway, you're deep underground. The air is very dry. The walls are cut out with... very flat, almost like cubicle cuts. You know, it's very square, this mine. And you've gotten to the... Actually, does anybody want to do anything or run any perception on the way down before you reach, like, the main area of the salt mine?
Is it pretty well lit, or is it, like, dark? Dark, dark.
It is
like, are there running lights or something?
There is running lights, but it's, like... Once you get to a running light, you can see the next light way ahead, but it is, like, way ahead to the point where you can really only ever see, like, one light. But the entrance is kept, like, straight enough and flat enough to where, like, it's not, like, a dangerous ride down, but it's, like, it's a ride down. You know what I mean?
All right, so Jeff does have dark vision because he's a gnome, I believe. Okay. So, but his dark vision is because in his adventurer's pack, he has some junior detective night vision goggles. And so he's going to slap those on so that he can see and just look around while they ride down.
So you're wearing night vision goggles and packing a golden gun the size of your leg.
Yes, sir. Jeff Normal.
Just checking. Baffling.
Yeah. I'm just looking for a water bottle or something. This is very dry air.
It's very dry air.
Yeah, Hank goes, yeah, man, check back. You open up there is a water cooler in the back of the buggy. and kind of like those big, gosh, like square coolers, let's say. And inside is just, it is just packed to the brim with plastic Dasani bottles.
I can't believe Dasani and Yeti are still products as far as the future. This is wonderful.
Well, I mean, it's all we get down here. Dasani just keeps shipping us these bottles, and we just keep... I mean, it's the only kind of water we can... It's the only drinkable water we can get down here.
Sure, yeah, not a problem. I grab a couple.
All right. Grab a couple waters. Anybody else want a water? Hey, man, pass me water. Hank asks for a water.
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
He just splashes it all over the front of his teeth. It gets...
I handed him one I already drank out of.
Oh, God.
Classy.
A little bit of the water splashes onto Jeff Normalman. But it's fine. It's fine. It's just like a little spit dribble where, like, he saw it. He knows you saw it. But none of you are going to talk about it. You just, you both know that something that was in his mouth kind of fell on you, and you're like, ah. Anybody else want to do anything on this in this long ride in?
Well, I'm just generally scoping as we go, but it's a big old salt mine.
You notice then that it is getting to be like quitting time. There are people that are on their way out of the mine, let's say. Not all of them. Some of them are on a... I should say that it is... The path that you're on is big enough to have two buggies, maybe even three buggies. It's wide enough. It's not, like, claustrophobic. It's like a big entrance, let's say. And there are enough for you to be driving a buggy, and there be, like, another buggy coming back the other way. And let's say that there's another buggy coming the other way, and Hank gives a little, like, honk to the guy and a wave. Does anybody want to wave?
No, but I do want to, like, look at them.
Okay. Do a perception. That's a good one. 17 on the perception check, which it will... Well, 14 plus 3. So you notice that all these people are tired. It's the end of their day. They've been working all day. They're very dry. All of them are holding Dasani bottles, and a lot of them are just pouring the Dasani all over their face to just, like, feel hydrated again, to, like, feel... And they're just to get that salt off of them. But each one is a plastic bottle, and they just kind of discard it after they're done. They just kind of toss it. It'll get cleaned up later by someone, let's say. And by later and someone, I mean it won't be.
It's like a bunch of goddamn electricians in there.
I don't know. I got a robot you guys can borrow.
It gets handled somehow, but not by these people. These people do not care about about trash going into the mine, because they've been working all day. They're tired. They're covered in, like, grease and salt and all, like, in sweat and
salty sweat.
Not many of them are happy. There's one of them who is, let's say there's one woman, she has a name badge. Joan is her name. And she's actually...
This is a hell of a perception check. I fucking nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's wearing a name tag. Your visitor badges have your name tag. Well, no, yours just say visitor. They don't have your names on them. But everybody else has, like, a named badge that has, like, their face on it. And even though it's dark, that was a high enough perception. I could say it's, like, big red leathering Joan, and she's... let's say that she's, like, patching up someone's hand there's, like, a bloody hand. Maybe had, like, hit it with a hammer or something, or was just too dry and cracked from the salt.
Ugh, gross.
Which is, like, I don't know if anyone has had, like, dry skin to the point of it cracking and bleeding, but that is a painful... Mm-hmm.
Welcome to my winter, Joe. Welcome to every winter.
Yeah, three of us live in Utah, so...
Fair enough. Fair enough. Don't call it the Salt Lake for nothing. With that, though, you get into the major, like, heart of the mine, And there's like a... It's big enough down here that there's actually like enough to where there would be like an office down here as well. And Hank knows where that office will be. It's kind of near the entrance. He goes, "Hey, I think, I mean, if anywhere he's down here, he might be in the mine office. If you just check down that hallway." And there's kind of an entrance of the mine. It's like you could go to the right, and it's where all of the workers are coming up from their long day of work. Or to the left, where it's kind of like an office where there's like a... Let's say there's like a shower in the front to like... to clean off, let's say. If there was any dirtiness that you had in the mine, you could clean off down here to get like... just so that there's not like gross stuff in where paperwork might be, let's say.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wow, there's two offices here, Hank?
I mean, how else are you going to talk to... I mean, you can't have an office up Sunside and down here just be fucking around not knowing who's going on or what. So, I mean, you gotta have the boss down here at some point, right?
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, you gotta have someone to tell you what to do when they're not... Anyway, his office around the corner.
I love Hank. I don't want to keep him. All right. So did he like stop the cart at the crossroads?
I should say that yeah, the buggy is stopped kind of at that crossroads of like the mine entrance, like to like where the work is being done is to your right or to the left. There's the underground offices.
All right. Well, I'm gonna fuck off left and go check the. Check the like obvious office thing, looking for the right. Foreman.
Okay,
I'm gonna try to keep up, but with the gun, I'm like dragging my legs to try to catch up,
peg-legging it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Fine,
we've
all good.
We've all been there.
So down here, you actually there is a labeled office door for Crawford Campbell. There's a door here. Like you have found Crawford Campbell's field, like mine.
I very politely knock on the door 3 times.
Guys, do you think he should have brought us straight to the office with his name first? Why could we fuck around at the other one?
Well, that was also his office. No
Leave
one.
Hank alone. He's fine.
No one. To be clear, no one rolled like perception up there to like see what was. Like outside of the office to see what was like going around. I mean, Tom just opened the door. He tried to pick an unlocked door. Anyway, so you've knocked, and from the inside you hear a holler. He goes, "It's just here."
I open the door.
You walk in, and there is Crawford Campbell sitting at a desk, and on sight, when he sees you, he notices your MedSurance insignia, which is the... I should mention at this point, the MedSurance insignia is a red cross with a keyhole in the center of it. Mm. And the first thing he says as soon as he sees that insignia is, fuck me. Come on in.
We're not here for that.
What do I roll to resist punching him?
Is that a... let's
Constitution.
Maybe.
Yeah, Constitution. Saving throw.
Oh, shit. Nailed it.
If you want to punch this man, you
no,
can
I
punch
said,
him.
No, I specifically said resist.
I, oh, okay, like, the 19 is resist. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. No, I know what he looks like. I'm trying not to like blow this thing out of proportion, but like, he looks like Martin Shkreli.
Sure.
It's just instinct. It's just
good.
Instinct.
You have resisted the urge to punch, but like,
oh, I still want
two,
to.
You are mm-hmm. both sharing a look that is like you hate each other's faces.
Absolutely. Face. Well, good.
He says, fuck me. MedSurance? Fuck!
You're unhappy we're here. We're unhappy we're here. Why don't you tell us why we're here?
I don't know why the fuck you're here. Who called you here? I don't want...
I don't want medsurance here. Is there a claim? Who? What the fuck?
Audrey's going to walk into the office and say, excuse me, Mr. Crawford, and put her hand on his arm. We're just here to help. Just let us know what we need to do, who we need to talk to. We'll take care of everything as quickly as we can, and we'll all get out of your hair.
Well, I don't know who the fuck you need to talk to, and I don't know why the fuck you're here. So, if you are here to apply some insurance policy, go right ahead. I don't deal with that stuff. That's the office. That's the higher ups. That's HR. I'm not here to deal with you, okay, Medsurance?
Poutine, you were reading the brief right on the way over.
Something that I failed to state and has failed to come up it hasn't been an issue, is that your medbot, Hi Stevie, is following you the whole time.
Oh my God.
Okay, I wondered where he was.
What the fuck? I'm so embarrassed.
Hi Stevie's there.
We've got ourselves our own fresh cut grass.
And basically what Hi Stevie can do is that they can provide, they're like an AED, right? They can administer shocks or like advise you on health stuff. The Hi Stevie is there for you, but every MedSurance agent hates their medbot because their medbot there are things that triggered automatic reports to your boss. So medbot's a narc. Everybody hates medbot. Medbot's a narc.
Okay.
He saw you take that gun. That's fine. Your boss don't give a fuck about that. To be clear. Also, you rolled a 20 history check earlier when looking at the insurance documents. And what I will tell you about this is that the way that the insurance document was drafted, that the salt company themselves took the policy out on Crawford. Crawford doesn't know that there's a life insurance policy on him.
Well, that's a horse of a different color then, Joe. Mm-hmm. That maybe would have changed some of my interactions with that dude. As now I know, okay, so we have to keep him from dying so we don't have to pay out.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Possibly.
Shit.
But if there are things that will happen if he does die. Like, you have been on... Do another history check.
That ain't bad.
Yeah, that's fine. Historically, you have been on jobs where you have been tasked to protect someone and they have died. Like, that has happened before in your past. And when that does happen, there are a set of things that have to happen after that, right? Like, you have to fill out the death certificate, which means getting the body inspected by, like, medical inspector, which none of you are. Like, you can't declare the body dead. You have to take it to someone to get that done.
Steve can't do it?
Shit, I should have played a cleric.
Maybe. I mean, you could do that, but it would complicate things anyway. Like, you could lie. Remember, hey, and this just goes beyond this game of Dungeons and Dragons and this game of MedTrance. Hey, everybody out there, you can lie to your boss.
What?
You don't have to do everything right. You can lie to them.
But
speaking
as
a boss, could you please not like spread that around? Because
sure,
these fuckers make my life hard enough as it is.
Fair enough. All right.
Hell no. Wage theft is the thing. Fuck them.
So in this situation, so bring everybody back up to speed. You have just found Crawford Campbell's office. He doesn't know why you're here. He knows that MedSurance, when they are around, is a bad thing. Usually, it is. Usually when the medical insurance company shows up to a site that doesn't provide health insurance to their employees, it is a bad thing as about to or has already happened.
Okay, so Joe, I actually knew this on the way over, right?
Yes.
That Okay, that he didn't book us, the company booked us, and now we're here?
Yes.
Can we hop in the Wayback Machine for a second and, like, get Retcon? In the dirigible and talk about that? Because that sounds like something we should probably talk about.
What do you want to? What did you want to have said? Given that,
well, so I wanna. So, like, clearly we. I am now asking the group. This guy didn't take this out. The company took this out, which means they don't want to pay out. And we got alerted because they think they're gonna pay out, which means we need to save his stupid looking ass. What do we do? Because he doesn't know why we're. He's not gonna know why we're here.
I think. What? I mean, the company loves us. The company's, I mean, you put your time in, you do the work, right? I think it'll inspire him to know that the company protects him. I think that would inspire him.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Hey, Cat Guy, what do you think?
Jeff, you're such a bootlicker.
Boys, that's a real tough conundrum. I mean, above all else, I suppose we protect the client on this one. Client meaning shitbag over here.
All right, so then let's say in the dirigible you have all decided to protect. You had made that decision, and now you're here in front of Crawford Campbell. He doesn't know why you're here. Still doesn't. And you are here to protect him.
That's right. Which is why Jeff Normalman is packing.
Do you draw your gun? Like, what are you?
Let him know. Let him know why we're here. We're ready. And I'm gonna slide the gun out from my leg. Here's the. And like I'm holding, so I've got two hands on. Like, I'm holding it like a rifle. Like my left hand is supporting the barrel.
Oh God.
Here's the thing, Crawford. Your company cares about you. Enough that they took out a policy to keep you alive. And that policy was triggered, which means somebody or something is ready to hurt you. And we're the heroes they sent to protect you.
Or, you might have some unhealthy habits.
I can't shoot those. I'm just Jeff.
This is Ohio. You can shoot them.
You can't shoot your unhealthy habits.
I can't wait for Jeff to burn his fucking hands when he shoots that gun like a rifle.
Jeff,
so you must come with us if you wish to live. Or something Jeff, like that. I don't know. It's an old term.
Do a sleight of hand check for Jeff Norman. I want Jeff to do the sleight of hand real quick.
Boy, Jeff is so not good at those.
It's okay. Trust me, you've not done well every time, and it's been okay for you.
So here's the thing about Jeff. I need to remember, because I'm a gnome, I get to add something to my.
Halfling.
No, it's not that. It's hold on. It's jack of all trades, so I can add half my proficiency bonus rounded down, so I get +1 to every ability check.
That's because you're a bard, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, is that okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I get +1 on my sleight of hand.
What kind of instrument do you play?
The dulcimer. All right, it's an 11.
Okay, 11. Crawford looks at you sideways with that gun. And he goes, is that my fucking gun? Is that kid up my fucking gun? He calls you kid. Is that kid up my fucking gun? It's only a thought. He doesn't know if it's his gun. But he's looking at you like, I'm pretty sure that kid has my fucking gun.
In Jeff's defense, it is gold now.
Here's the funny thing. The store had so many of these guns, they wound up just fucking selling them. So it turns out there's a lot of these guns around.
Yeah.
The gold handle is what saved you, to be honest. Like, because you had changed it, he didn't immediately recognize it and smack you for it. For stealing his gun. But he's like, all right, well... Well, you're here. Protect me. Oh, fuck. Fuck me. We need to get out of here. We need to get above ground now.
Yes, that sounds great.
Oh, right. Lake Erie's above us.
Yeah, you're below Lake Erie.
Oh, fuck. Scarly's got a point.
Is this one thing I hate is being submersed in water. So, yes, let's please.
Well, we got Hank outside. We got us a car.
I just got this blowout. I really don't want to get my hair wet.
Lovely.
That's not where I thought she was going with that.
Fair enough. All right. So, the Crawford says, all right, well, what... I mean, I'm not in the greatest... Did you tell him that you were here for an entrance on him? Like, you did tell him that, right?
Yeah, I told him his company cares about him, and we're going to save him.
Yeah. Oh, also, he identified us from the uniforms.
Right. So he goes, all right, well, let's... we could hold up in my office, I guess, if we want to... Being underground is not really a good place to be. We might want to get back to the field office up. Or you know what? Even higher up, there's an Overwatch tower we can get to kind of above everything.
We got a blimp. Let's go.
You got a blimp? Well, why don't you say so we can get the fuck out of here? All right.
Good. Yes. To the golf cart.
Everybody get in Hank's office.
And when did you play? All right, so Jeff Norman says, everybody to Hank's office. I love that. Love that. So you get back to Hank's office, let's say. Hank goes, hey, Jesse found Crawford. Crawford, what's up, man? Crawford goes, hey, Hank, how's the jaw? Oh, still hard shut, you know how it is. The thing about it, Hank's office doesn't have enough seats for everybody. It only had enough to fit you four. There are no additional spots for Crawford. He's a larger guy too, so he's probably not gonna fit on this.
That's okay. I've got this. You guys go.
What?
What? Get out of here. No, I'll meet you upstairs. Go ahead.
I like this. Does anyone want to stay behind with Chester?
Listen,
Well, my shoes allow me to levitate, so I could just follow behind.
Yeah, no, it's okay. If you guys can all get on there, go ahead and get on there. I will follow you. It's fine.
Yeah, good luck. I go get on there.
That's fine.
We'll see you at topside. Goodbye.
So then you all hop in, except for Chester, who stays behind. Chester, are you following on foot behind them? I mean, it's a slow buggy ride up.
Until they get out of sight, yeah.
Okay. All right. With that, then, I will we'll split the party a little bit. We'll get back to Chester. Don't worry, I'm going to get right back to Chester. But for everybody in the buggy, everybody who is currently in Hank's office... you are on your way out. You are passing these workers who you saw walking up before. You are on your way to being above ground. Crawford is saying nothing. Hank, in silence, does anybody point anything out or say anything while you on your way out of the mine?
So I want to do two things. I want to look at Hank as before we drive and be like, you know, Hank, I just need you to know you are one of the neatest people I have ever met. And I can't believe with your jaw wired shut, you drive your office so beautifully, so amicably, so smoothly. You must be the smoothest operator.
Jesus Christ, Tom.
That you ever did see. And I put my hand on him, and I give him a bardic inspiration.
Hank busts a gut. He is doubling over. Actually, hold on. I'm going to do a dex check real quick on Hank because he is laughing so hard. Oh, fuck. I rolled a two. He kind of wrecks the buggy a little bit. It is hobbled. He has busted a stitch. He goes, oh man, you really know how to make a man bust a gut. Oh man,
I'm gonna go ahead and cast. Let's see what we got here. I'm gonna go ahead and blow a little bit of my special dust and cast suggestion on him.
Okay, which does?
I'm going to tell him get us the fuck back to the surface, please.
All right. We'll get this. So you will get to the surface, but the wheel is... You got a bum wheel.
But to be clear, he does get a D6 on a check you choose. He's inspired. Sure. All right.
Hank is inspired. I have written down, I have marked. Hank, put a big I right next to Hank. Inspired.
Okay. He's going to change his tire real fast. Or he won't. We'll see.
And then back to Chester, though. Chester, you are at the... basically, you have not changed location from before. You are at the exit. There are still new miners coming out from the cave. I say cave, but it's a mine. It's a salt mine.
That's salt.
So what do you want to do?
So as soon as the golf... Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. As soon as the golf cart gets out of sight, I guess there's more miners, so I duck into the office. And I... harness the power that's inside of me, and I turn into the mightiest animal that I've seen recently, using the power of hard light holograms, and I turn in to Sprinkles, because like really I haven't seen any animals. It's a fucking salt mine. I'm actually pretty disappointed from a druid perspective, because there's no one to talk to. Fucking, it's just people. It actually kind of sucks for me. So obviously I turn into an anthropomorphic cat, and I get down on all fours. Get down on all fours. Get down on all fours, and I sprint as fast as I can after this buggy.
Do a constitution.
Ready? Oh shit! I'm amazing at this game.
Wow, 18.
You're winning D&D.
Yeah, so you are.
I am.
On the way up, as you are running up the. All right, hold on. Let me do a quick roll for Crawford, because he's now seeing double. Oh, he rolled 20, so he's not 20.
No, I'm trying to stay out of the way. Like that's why I waited for them to leave. Yeah. I turn into a giant cat for speed, not for funsies. If I wanted to fuck with them, believe me, I'll fuck with them.
So you don't look exactly like Sprinkles. You're just another big cat.
Oh, no. I'm Sprinkles.
All right.
As an action, you can magically assume the shape of a beast that you have seen before.
Cool.
So I'm literally Sprinkles, but I'm probably wearing my clothes, and I'm running on all fours behind him, rather than faking a German accent and psychoanalyzing him.
Remind us again what you were wearing before, and tell us what it looks like now that you're
a cat. Well... So I believe I described myself as Santa-esque previously. So
that's
it would be just
said.
Like, yeah. So it would be like really baggy, whatever uniform, kind of like whatever like bits of the uniform I picked up off my floor to like show up. Because I'm just putting in the hours, but now it's really baggy and round, a 6.5-foot cat.
Mm-hmm. We are the analogy. I'm the Chester cat, and you are the. Sprinkles. We're the same person, but different.
Effectively,
Santa cat. Love it. So you all get to the entrance of the mine. The workers are heading off to their barracks. There are giant barracks on site that are hangar-like in nature. It's where people would go to store their work clothes, and it's located right next to their living area, because all of these people who work here also live here. There's nothing, because remind you, Cleveland is glass. And there's nothing but a salt mine here. So they are here to mine. They are being paid to live here. They're off, back off to their prospective living. Well, they're off to go clean up first at the barracks. And you are all at the entrance of the mine, heading towards Crawford's field office. But in the distance, there is where your blimp is. Another blimp arrives. This one's like a passenger blimp, like the Greyhound of blimps. And there's just a bunch of people getting off of it, heading towards the gate, which is far away from where you are right now. But you can see them at the front gate. They're talking to, they're getting out and kind of talking to Mint out there. The Mint Fish again, the gatehouse man.
Yep.
Oh, they're all getting their high vises. Back up to the office. Where do you head? What's the plan?
So I try to revert back to human before anybody sees me. Anybody from my group sees me. Like, I ran by miners.
I'll let you do it.
I feel that perhaps staying away from any groups would be the best idea right now, since somebody is the target of something, I imagine.
All right. So I think that that's a fair plan, and I think Hank certainly agrees. Hank, under this whole time, is just driving straight towards Crawford's office. So you're there. You all get out. Hank stays in his office, obviously, and you are all back at the field office. When you open the door, well, first Crawford opens the door immediately and is like, it just can see that the place has been tossed. He goes, who the, they tossed my office.
That's not important.
Oh no.
What scoundrels?
Yeah, they gotta know by now. Ah, man, I'm fucked. We gotta get the fuck out of here, but we can't.
What do they know?
He's looking at your. He kind of looks. Who mentioned that you had a blimp earlier?
That was me.
Okay, he looks over to Poutine. He goes, You mentioned that you had a blimp, right? Where are you? Where are you parked right now?
In the blimp parking lot, obviously.
Well, hold on, though. What you didn't answer what Audrey said, though. What about the what do they know?
The blimping lot. Please.
I believe it was referred to as a blumpkin.
No, it's not.
That's different.
Sorry,
thing.
English isn't my first language.
Crawford looks out the window to the blimping lot, and he's like, he sees the Greyhound blimp also arriving, and he just starts cursing up a storm. He is like panicking. He's in panic mode.
Okay. So Jeff Norman's gonna hobble over to him because he's still got this giant peg leg situation going on with a gun in his pants, and he's gonna walk over and say, "Hey, man, like, I know you're stressing. It's gonna be okay." And he's going to pull a needle out of his pocket and jab it into his leg.
His own leg? Or
into Crawford's leg. Because okay. He's casting Zone of Truth, and he doesn't have magic. What he has instead is a concoction of truth serum he's been working on at home to finally find out who his ex-wife cheated on him with. And he's going to stab that into Crawford's leg and cast level 2 Zone of Truth. So what this means is... he has to make a charisma saving throw of 12. And if he's below 12, he will... so you create a magical zone until the spell ends. The creature enters the spell's area. It must basically make a saving throw on a failed save. It can't speak a deliberate lie while in the radius. So we'll say that it turns the office into a radius or something.
Yeah, that's totally fine. I would even put Hank inside that radius. Hank has not left, by the way. Hank is sitting out front in his office. Crawford rolled a 7, so this works. You have jabbed him with a thing. As soon as you jabbed him, he did feel the jab, and he does smack you. Like, he, like, it is like a backhand, like, what the fuck? And it's like smacks your hand away, right? Like, it,
okay.
He does a hit on you, let's say.
Okay, I have an armor class of 9.
It doesn't pass 9, obviously, but it's, okay. Yeah, he did slap you. He did that shit.
That's fair. I did stab him with a needle. That's fair. So, yeah, I'll stab him, wait a second, and go, I'm going to say it again. What do they know about Crawford?
Well, they're gonna know that they're all fired. I think that's the point, right?
Who's they?
I think he means all the miners.
Chester is not participating in the conversation, but if anyone can listen, you just hear a long, drawn-out sigh. Anyway, continue.
The miners. Who else is employed at a mine? Yes, I mean the miners. They're all going to find out that their employment was terminated. What the fuck do you think all these papers are for? And he's, like, doing a panicked snow angel as he's, like, looking through all the papers, and he yells at also, I cannot find my gun! Just kind of turning over his own office looking for his gun.
Unfortunately, somebody already did that.
Well, whoever...
like, it is not revealed. Like, to be clear, he doesn't think that's your he thinks that's your gun.
Yep. And I say,
this handle's not gold.
Whoever tossed your office must have that gun. Is there anything else we need to know there, Crawford?
Well, you should know that I need to get the fuck out of here if I don't want to avoid an awkward conversation with all of the scabs who've just arrived.
Oh. Group meeting real quick. Group meeting.
Can we do that?
Yeah, why not? What the hell? Do we just...
All right, so everybody and Hank meets outside.
Wait, do you say everybody meet me in Hank's office?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Cool. So you leave Crawford's office. He is still frantically searching for his gun. He cannot get into his cabinet, and he is pissed because, again, the cabinet's lock is busted because there's still a bobby pin in it.
Before we go outside, I ask Stevie to help Crawford with the lock.
Okay. That's going to happen when you're all outside.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Stevie, help him with the lock, and then we're going to go outside.
All right, have your meeting. What happens next? What happens in Hank's office?
Okay, so we just shoot this motherfucker, right?
Yeah. I don't know what we're doing here, to be quite honest.
I think we should just leave.
I mean, like... The company knows what's best, though, right? Like, here's the thing. I've seen our books. We don't want to pay this out. I don't want to process that claim. I think we got to save him for the good of Medsurance.
Can I cast Charm Person on our friend there?
That's okay.
DC of 13 on your Wisdom saving throw.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I was going to slap him.
Don't do that. Self-praise.
Oh, my God.
Yay! Oh, incredible. Incredible. Welcome to the team, Jeff.
Jeff is now turncoat.
Fuck capitalism, Jeff.
Jeff, repeat after me.
Jeff takes off his tie.
Damn the man.
He does take off his tie, and he unbuttons the top button. You're right. Damn the man.
It's a higher ground, and... just kind of blind eye every once in a while.
I guess if something goes wrong, I am actually qualified for early retirement. And I'll pull the gun out and put it in my hands and look at everybody. Do I gotta take care of him?
No.
What? No, that's for the workers. They need us.
Oh, I'll put the... And he puts the gun back.
I can't believe this fucking worked.
How do we not get blamed for this? Because Stevie's inside, but he's only going to be inside for so long. I think we're all on the same page here. Fuck them. But, like, how do we not get blamed for this? Because I can't lose this job because I'm not going back to prison for you or anybody.
Hey, I need all of you to hold on a second. And I'm going to go back into the office. Hey, we're trying to figure out a way to get you out of here the best way we can. Is Hank fired?
Actually, you know what? Crawford doesn't know this. Crawford doesn't know if Hank is fired or not.
Okay. So he'll just be like, oh, okay. So I come back out. Guys, I think he's firing Hank too, which is all right to the blimp. What if we...
Yeah. What also, if Hank's in this huddle.
Oh, let the man talk now.
Hank, we are in Hank's office.
Here's the thing. Crawford's going to fire everybody. And you're part of everybody. So what if... Wink, you turncoat on us and don't let us get safely, but instead drive us into the angry mob and we'll wink, fight the best we can. But unfortunately, Crawford won't make it.
Roll.
Wow.
Listen, you charmed me onto Team Murder Police.
I'd like to also inspire Jeff during his conversation. Sure. So I'm going to give you a D6.
Oh, okay. Fucking Team Bard.
What am I rolling? What am I checking?
You're going to... Gosh, what kind of roll? Persuasion? Like
persuasion, I guess? Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because you'd be earnest about this. This isn't deception. You mean it.
No.
Oh, yeah, I mean it. I've been charmed.
Coat. Yep. Yeah.
Which is sad, because I really wanted to try to shoot off this pimp gun. All right, here we go.
You still could.
I'm willing to bet you'll find your chance. All
right, so my persuasion check is a natural one.
Oh.
Fuck yeah. Incredible.
Oh, fuck yeah. Incredible. You charmed the right gnome. I'm sorry, little person.
Wait, but you had bardic inspiration. Hold on. What's that get you to?
It's still a natural one.
It's still a critical fail, though, but let me roll the 6 because it'll be fun.
It'll be fun. I want to know.
Oh, failure fucking rules.
Big foe.
Alright, so for anyone who can't hear, he rolled a 1 on the inspiration as well. Alright, cool. Oh, awesome.
God. Yep. Yep.
So, Hank is now just coming to realize that, like, wait, I'm, you tell me I'm fired? I don't work here anymore?
So has it been an hour since we met Hank?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Then I have no notes.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Actually, I forgot that note. What did you cast on Hank earlier?
So, Sprinkles did the same thing to Hank that he did to Tom.
Wait, I thought he did that to Mint. He did it to Mint.
Yeah, he did it to Mint.
Yeah, oh, he didn't do it to Hank?
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was Mint fishing. The first person to do anything to Hank was, unfortunately, Tom.
It was me inspiring him, which he still has, that dice.
And it fucking failed. All right, so what happens here? You know what? All right, hold on. While I do a little bit of a critical failure, man. Against Hank.
My boy Hank.
Your boy Hank. All right, let me try and keep order here, because you... Jeff just turned coat.
Yep.
To convince Hank to just drive away. But Hank is also just now realizing for the first time that Hank is no longer employed.
Right.
Which means that Hank doesn't own this office anymore. Which means Hank is really conflicted right now. You've put Hank in a way. Hank is, like, thinking for himself right now. Because he doesn't have a job, which means he doesn't have a living space anymore. So while you are all still in Hank's office, Hank takes off for the barracks. You are heading towards the living, and he's going so fast in this in this cart that it will take a dexterity move for you to jump off. If you are trying to, or you are going with Hank to the barracks, you are going to Hank's home.
Ugh, that wasn't as good as I normally do. So, like, as he's freaking out, do I understand why he's freaking out?
I will say yes, because he is no longer employed by the Morton Salt Company, which means he no longer has any the home that Morton provided him is no longer his. All of the things that Morton owned have been reclaimed automatically.
As he's driving and it's crazy, I sort of put my hand on his shoulder and I'm like, buddy, I get it. This is big and this is scary and I get it. But like, we have to think about your coworkers or your former coworkers and do what we can to help. And as I am talking to him, I blow my own bit of dust or whatever into his face and I charm person.
All right. What does charm?
He needs to make a wisdom roll, wisdom saving throw of 13 or higher.
Okay. He rolled a 5.
Okay.
So it works.
Welcome to our proto union, Hank. So what
happens immediately after that? Let's say once you've put your hand on his shoulder, he slows down. But he still says some pretty strong words for someone who still has a fucking job.
But if it gets out that we did this, I'm going to be right with you. Let's try to help as many people as we can in the meantime.
Oh, fuck, I'm trying to help me. Can you help me?
Absolutely. I'm trying to help you, too. Why don't you say so?
You are now at Hank's.
Oh,
you are at Hank's living spot. You have arrived. What did you want to say, though?
It doesn't matter anymore because he's cooperating, so I don't need to sweet talk him.
Trust me. Like, you passed the check there. He rolled a 5. Like, Hank's on your team now, basically. Hank is practically another unassigned character at this point.
Yes!
Hank, here's what we can do. We need to get rid of management, first, and we need to get rid of the scab, second. We do that, they can't fire you, because they're not going to let this mine shut down. Are you in?
I mean, I don't really have a choice now, do I? I don't have a job, I don't have bus fare to get out of here. All I have is my office.
And he starts to cry. It's all blimps. It's air blimps.
We have no public transportation.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, he has no way of... To be clear, like, when he says he can't... Like, he's stuck here. Like, all he has left is his office.
God, it's like a Tennessee Williams song.
100% going to try to steal.
I'd be insulted if he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting this thing on the fucking blimp. So help me God.
All right, so let me build the stage for you then a little bit here. You are now in front of Hank's apartment. It's a large apartment style, like almost like row apartments. Just to get as many people in as many living spaces as possible. And it's small, and you see a couple of the other miners getting to their homes, but they're all finding that, like, all of the doors that are open to theirs are all locked. They cannot get into their own homes. They have all been locked out and are unable to get to their things.
Okay, and this is very obvious to all of us.
Yes, because there are people getting very angry at this point that there are people trying to rip down their own doors. Because it is everybody, the entire workforce of the miners that just came up working a full day of work cannot get back home at this point because they are no longer employed. So what do you do with all of these people kind of crowding around, starting to just get, you know, smashy and grabby?
I mean, surely we don't weaponize them.
I am going to hand Hank. I'm going to grab Hank and say, listen, my friend, it's time for you to step up, Hank. You're the leader now. And I'm going to hand him Lucy, which is what I named my gun as I was looking at her as we drove through the tunnels. This is your leader gun, Hank. This is Lucy. And Lucy can help you.
We still don't even know if it's loaded.
Girl, you know Lucy got bullets in her.
All right, are you doing a thing? Are you doing?
No, I'm just giving my man the gun.
Are you just giving him the handgun?
I'm just giving him Lucy.
Lucy, quote Lucy, the golden handgun, Lucy. He immediately takes the gun and says, hell yeah, man, sweet piece like this, and aims it at the lock of his door. What do you do?
What can we
Let
do?
Let it ride. Let it ride.
Somebody, like, oh, no. I mean, if you want to stop him, you can stop him. Otherwise, he is going to pull the trigger.
Why would we stop him?
Yeah, I'm on team don't stop him.
I don't know. Do you think that a gun could open just a normal door lock? I don't know.
I think we'll find
out
shortly.
Is that a safe thing to do?
Depends on the caliber. Let's see.
The cops do it all the time.
The fuck does Jeff Norman know about a gun? He just thinks they look cool because he's seen them in the movies.
Also, I just want to, like, set the stage here. There are a ton of workers who have just found out that they've been laid off and have no access to their own homes, and a gun's about to go off. Uh-huh. I just want to set that stage for before you let it rip.
I think we know Acknowledged. What's going on.
I don't think Jeff does know. I think Jeff is...
Jeff might be the only person who doesn't know because he's under a spell.
Jeff is and he's like 300 years old and chock full of privilege. Like, my man just does not... He's clueless.
Quick pause. Joe, watching you do the arc of, like, GMing is almost as much fun for me as the game itself.
Agree. Totally agree.
Yep. I'm glad. I don't know what's happening here, but I'm leaning into it.
Watch it, the GM spending a few minutes warning their players off, and then the players just being like, yep, no, I hear what you're saying. Fuck it.
You have no idea how long I've been waiting to unionize NPCs.
Oh, hell yes. we're doing this shit, and I don't care how many NPCs die to get us there.
All right, the handgun goes off. Pop. There is a loud bang. Actually, there are... Hold on, let me roll a... There are five loud bangs. Hank just unloads into his own door, firing a gun into his own apartment.
God damn it, Ohio.
To enter. And it fucking works. He blows the fuck off of this. This door is off of its hinges entirely. Like, you know that scene in Blade Runner at the very beginning where he blows the Blade Runner through, like, shoots him in the chair, and the chair goes through the wall?
Yep.
Right? After the first shot, the door went through the wall across the... So, like, he's just blown a hole in his entire apartment with this handgun, with this Lucy. Hank, and after he's done letting off five very loud shots inside of a perturbed crowd now, you just hear Hank go, fuck, man, did you hear that?
Sure did, buddy. Go ahead and get what you're getting.
That's terrible. The company does not condone this.
Oh, yes. Please stop.
Oh, no.
I want to do a quick update. The medbot is still back at the office with
I was going to ask.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I want to remind everybody of that because Tom rolled so low. Because Tom hit that critical fail, you have been removed from that entire situation. You are not near him at all. Like, that was a bad thing that happened. But at the same time, you're not near Medbot anymore, so could be... Hi, Stevie is not in...
If you went and saw Crawford, I mean, who knows what could happen there? Oh, no.
So... what happens then after the gunshot was fired is that a car pulls up. It's just like a normal gray sedan. Guy in a leather jacket, glasses, long, greasy hair kind of pops out. And he goes, hey, man, wow, that's a... whoa. Oh, maybe, actually, no, I lied. This does not happen yet. Nicholas, forgetting any bad happened because a gun just went off. All right.
I like to think that wherever he is, though, he's impressed.
Actually, you know what happens? Joan runs over from before. She was mending that person's hand. Joan mm-hmm. comes back, and she is like, she's freaky. She has a look on her face as if someone has been shot. And she is asking, has someone been injured? Like, she is ready to help people. Joan is on the scene.
Oh, no, don't forget it. What's happening here? Just go on, carry on your business.
Yeah, no, there were five really fucking loud gunshots. Are you trying to tell me that no one is harmed? I'm like, listen, if someone is shot, there are people I'm worried that someone could be killed here. What are you talking about? There was a gunshot. I was right over there. And points to her. Apartment, which is like across the way. She has also been locked out, but she like does have some of the medical supplies that she had from earlier with her. She's looking to help people right now.
All right, I'm gonna cast Charm Person on Joan, and for a penny, off for a pound.
Just charm everybody. Go ahead.
I got the slots for it. Listen.
No way. I gotta check that.
Yeah. So that's a wisdom 13.
I rolled a 19.
Oh,
so
shit.
She,
oh, Joan's not taking any of your shit.
She sees your Jedi mind tricks, and she goes, yeah, if someone's fucking shot, I don't want them to fucking bleed out, okay? She has a mouth of a sailor.
Do you see anybody bleeding out here? Take a look around.
She is slightly less pissed. She goes, no, but I could imagine a scenario where all of these people start... I just thought that you had shot someone. I thought that someone could be dead.
Understandable in a situation like this. Perhaps we try to get into your apartment and make sure you have the supplies to help anyone that does get injured throughout this. It seems like a hot situation, yeah?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. This was my med kit that I had, but I used some on the way today at work so I could refill some. Yes. Can you open my door? Are you able to do that? Do you have?
Yeah.
Are you from Morton?
No, but let's go try. So I'm going to try and lead Joan away from everybody else.
All right. So you and Joan go over to her apartment. Does anybody else go with Joan?
No, I think I stay.
I'll stay.
It's just across the way. You could shout to him if you want.
Yeah, I'll head over with them.
All right, cool. Chester and Poutine and Sprinkles head over to Joan's place, but at Hank's house, still at Hank's house. Hank is... You have entered Hank's home.
It's the Hank's home.
You have entered the Hank zone. What would something be that Hank would have, like a personal item that Hank would have?
I hate to be the one to say this, but it's probably a photo of him with a real big fish.
God, we've already done that though. That's
yeah, but this one's real and it's obviously real.
Okay, all right. Was this pre or post him getting his jaw wired shut?
Pre.
Yeah.
Pre. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So there's a big picture of him with a big fish. Let's say there's a fishing rod in there too.
Yeah.
He would have that if he's a fisherman. In his free time, he. Let's see. There's probably a blender in there as well.
Oh yeah.
Because he's been, you know, blending up his food. Can't eat solid food.
Can Frank,
jaw wired shit.
Can Hank have his one nice thing? Can it be like a pour over coffee kit with a burr grinder?
Like, sure.
My man Hank's a coffee connoisseur. That's like the one nice thing he has.
You know what? Yeah. And this whole time, actually, that you've been with Hank and hiding around, actually roll a Jeff, roll a perception check.
All right. Jeff Normalman, perceptive as fuck.
That's been my experience. Oh, wow.
Nat 20.
Killing it.
So it is all tying together now. You see the pour over coffee, and you're like, oh, man, like, yeah. And you think back to Hank's office, where he has a special thermos that says Hank's thermos.
Mm-hmm.
Hank's. It says Hank's hot stuff.
Yep, there it is. Yep.
There's the thermos that says Hank's hot stuff that he is like this whole time just been like putting to his lips every now and then, just like really been just enjoying that coffee. And you're like, oh, it makes it. He's total beanhead. This Hank Krause beanhead. Loves himself a good hot brew.
Hanks for all the
fucking
fish.
Goddamn it, Hanks for all the fish. You know what? Does anybody, Audrey or Jeff, do you say Hanks for all the fish? Do any of you say that?
Absolutely not.
I think Audrey and Anna were equally offended.
A hard pass on all of
hard no.
That's fair. I'm not offended. Great. It's fine. I'm just helping.
No, it's perfect. I love it. And all right, so then back at Joan's apartment, there's a locked door in front of you. What do you do?
Shenanigans.
I pull another bobby pin out of my hair.
You know what? Audrey, I will let you roll that again. Because I like the idea. I know that you didn't go over there earlier, but you're like close enough where you could, you know, hop on over. As soon as you saw the Hanks for all the fish, you left immediately for Jones' place. So roll a, what is it for locks again? Slide hand? Oh, absolutely. Oh, fuck. You're in there.
Holy shit.
Boom. And you get the bobby pin back this time.
Yes. That's my favorite one.
You managed to unlock the whole floor.
You know what? Actually, by unlocking Jones, the two adjacent properties are also unlocked because of the incredibly shitty and unsafe locking system that was installed. Like, way early when they built these things, like,
cheap
super,
fucks.
Super fast. It's like, if you busted one lock, then the two adjacent properties are also unlocked. Just because it's... I don't know why it's fucked up like that. The people who built it don't know why it's fucked up like that. But guess what? It'd be fucked up that way.
Sometimes it'd be like that.
There aren't people in those apartments yet, or weren't people trying to get into them at the time. And those doors have opened, if you want to go into them. But Joan's apartment is opened, and Joan heads in. Inside of Joan's apartment, there's actually like a lot of plants. She has like a lot of plants around. Not like a greenhouse or anything, but just like, you know, if there's like a desk or any, if all of the hard flat surfaces have a pot on them somewhere that has like even if it's like a small succulent, she likes to care for these small things.
Hydroponics, nice.
Oh yeah, Joan Blazes, absolutely. Like, that is the one, like, you know what, it's Sprinkles, do perception check.
I'm not as proficient as I thought. That's fine. Let's see.
Also, please don't randomly start chewing on plants.
10, alright.
Rein it in.
Many houseplants are toxic to cats.
That is interesting that you say that, because one of the plants with a roll of a 10 is catnip. And now you need to deal with that shit.
This feels racist.
Just saying. I'm giving you, Sprinkles, a very strong desire to head on over to the corner of the room where that plant is, and you wanna give that thing a big sniff.
Yeah, wow, look at the decoration in here.
You're going to have to do a constitution saving throw to resist the urge.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh,
my boy's gonna give a sniff.
Oh man, you sniffed the. You are all over that thing, in a way where Joan is like, turns to Audrey and goes, "Can you like fucking help your friend? Like,
mind your business."
He is not my friend.
Jesus Christ! So she goes underneath her sink. And is getting, like, gauze and Band-Aids and, like, antiseptic. She just, like, has all this stuff because it's things that she stored from over time. And
does she have a spray bottle?
Yeah, she's got a spray bottle.
I'm going to pick up the spray bottle and squirt sprinkles.
This is for sure what racist. Is...
What is your armor class? Hold on.
Oh, it's surprisingly, not too bad. I've got a 12.
All right, roll, you know what, Audrey, roll dex. Roll dex with spray bottle.
Roll for squirt.
Roll for squirt. Roll to squirt.
Oh!
Just...
I got a 7.
No.
Oh, man. I will say this way, Sprinkles is, he's a big guy. Boy, is he light on his feet. You go to spray this motherfucker, and he is dodging every which direction and causing a little bit more of a fuss in the apartment before.
Cat-like reflexes.
In my head canon, his nose is stuffed in the plant, but his backside be dodging. Like,
oh, yeah, he tweaking. He is... Oh, boy. Yeah, he's like... he's doing a twerk there, just avoiding all of it. Getting the floor very wet. Joan is kind of pissed at this point. Does anybody want to investigate the other two apartments that were opened?
I feel like Jeff Normalman would probably wander over.
All right, Jeff, you're going to look in. You want to go left or to the right?
You know what? I'm going to roll a D6. Above 3 is a right, below 3 is a left.
Tom, are you seriously going to go loot before we, like, tell these poor people we unlock their apartments for them?
Well, there's no one trying to get in those apartments. We don't know that they're occupied.
Alrighty.
That's a 5, so I'm going right.
You're going right? Okay, in the apartment to the right, there is... I hate that I have put this decision in front of you again, but there is a gun case in front of you.
That's not really a decision.
No, it's not.
I hate that was the... I'm so mad, like, that roll went to the right.
Do you have, like, a loot table you're rolling on?
No, I have a... I have things that I've written down of, like, yes, there is loot.
Okay.
A handgun is one of them.
This is Ohio. It's always guns.
I mean, the other one was a lot of more medical supplies, which is still there, which you can still go get them as well, but...
Why?
Nah, Jeff takes the gun to aid the revolution.
Okay. Why am I giving this gnome so many guns? Okay.
He keeps giving them away, in fairness.
This gun, though, is a, like, a hunting rifle.
Oh, my God.
It is a long gun. It's like a .22 hunting rifle for, like, small game.
Okay. Nope, that's fine. Keep going.
No, you had a question, point of order. You want to do something while you're in the apartment?
No, I'm just, reality's creeping in. But no, go ahead. 22 is a super light gauge. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a strong. It's a popper. It's a gun that goes pew, pew, pew.
Okay, perfect.
Worth noting.
It's a gun that goes pew, 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 but it's a rifle. So, like, it's a long barrel.
Yep.
Can have range, but is a 22, so it's, like, zero stopping power. It's just, like, pew, pew, pew,
perfect.
Pew, for, like, taking out, like, rats or something, you know?
Yeah.
It is still 37 inches long, which makes it 1 inch taller than Jeff Normalman.
I love this.
I love it. You've actually used your tie as, like, something to sling it over your back.
Yep.
And it's still hitting the ground. It still hits the ground every time he takes a step.
Yep. Clack.
Love it.
Clack.
Love it.
Clack.
given a tiny gun to this office worker.
Who has decided, after being charmed person, that, you know what? Fuck it. If he retires early, he only loses 1 year of retirement pay.
No, it's great. It's great. Love it. So Joan has retrieved her supplies. Nobody is injured on site, but as you are leaving the Jones apartment, and as Hank has kind of got all of his things back into his office, he's loaded up his office, so there's only like maybe seats for one other person at this point in Hank's office. The rest is filled with Hank's stuff. And someone else arrives on scene. There's a silver sedan rolls up. Guy in greasy long hair, wire frame glasses, leather jacket, loose clothing, bit of a vibe, you know, to him.
1996 Toyota Corolla, still solid, yes, 100 years in the future.
Mm-hmm. That's the vibe.
But historical plates. You can see the historical plates.
And, yeah, it's a Toyota Corolla with historical plates.
I was 2 years away from getting my Geo Metro historical plates, but I hit a deer and I had to total it. I was so disappointed.
Good news is it was a Geo Metro, so the deer walked away unscathed.
It really didn't. I hated him for it. I hated him so much. I was going fucking 70 and he walked it off. Fuck
oh,
you,
he
dude.
Totally did. It was like the dude got hit with a pushpin.
So mad.
This character pops out of his car, heads around to the back of the trunk, pops it, and it's just filled with different signs. He seems to have like put himself in the middle of where a lot of the former miners were gathering, and he's just kind of handing stuff out. He's kind of, it seems like he's organizing the scene.
No, he's fundraising for the DNC. Super. Sorry, guys, we're 2 votes short of doing literally anything. But here's
you want to go talk to him? I don't know.
Tom, shoot him.
You haven't even met this person.
No, I'm pretty sure I do. It's the wrong day for this game. So before I talk to the guy, I take a more like specific look in the trunk at these signs. Oh shit!
You can see your passive perception is high enough. I can just let you know this, that you can see that they're all what look to be protest signs. If you were like not trying to read any of the words, does that make sense? Like signs that you would you recognize them as signs that you would probably see at a protest, but like in further inspection, you see that all that it's just big, bold, like impact font that just says wages or work. Like, it's so like just so generic, they are so generically like jobs exclamation point. Like
my initial assessment hasn't changed a lot.
Milquetoast as possible. Like these signs, and they've been around a couple times. Like they've seen it.
All right.
So he's in the back handing out these signs to some of the former miners.
Shit. Go ahead, Nate.
Question.
Actually, let's hear from Audrey, because Audrey hasn't like initiated conversation with a character yet. I'm gonna throw this one to Audrey.
What do you think they really want? Do you think they're really worried about their paychecks or their housing? Do they have any cake?
This guy laughed. He goes, cake. Fuck Fino, ma'am. But here, you take a sign if you want.
Okay. I grab.
He hands you a sign that just says benefits.
Benefits. I'm gonna pull a lipstick out of my purse and add to the sign plus cake.
Great. Love that.
God, Audrey's awful.
So this guy is now handing out signs to other workers. Joan passes him, and Joan walks right by this guy. She does not give a fuck about this Toyota Corolla classic plates motherfucker handing out signs.
Insight check. Is this guy a fucking narc?
Insight check? Sure. What do you roll?
I'm going to roll an insight check and see if this guy seems like a narc.
I mean, do you need to roll?
Do they have badges?
We don't need no stinking badges.
Not 20. I love this shit. This is perfect because this is honestly something I was going to give to you anyway. So it's like a little bonus that I don't have to tell you is a bonus, except I just did. So insight check tells you that you've actually seen this guy before. You know this guy. You have met this man before. His name is Pill Baxton, and he is a company riot organizer. He is.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
What?
Yeah.
Run that by me. Yep. No. Said just company what?
Company riot organizer.
Okay.
A company wants to have a riot, they have to
send
an
organizer. I have no questions. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's like I said.
Does he have cans of soup?
He's got a Morton Salt badge on. I can tell you that much. Like, he got in through Mint Fishigan, let this guy right on through. And in fact, his name badge says Riot Organizer, like right on it.
Well, that tracks.
And with a 20 perception check, you know his name. It's Pill Baxton. Do you want to have any kind of history with this guy?
Yeah, I want to kind of know why I know him, or where maybe I have seen him before.
You have seen him before at a... There was a... Was there... Let me ask you this. Would Sprinkles have ever been involved in a riot or part of a riot at some point in their past?
Oh, God, yes. I enjoy the chaos and studying the people in there.
All right. Well, then let's say you were involved in a riot for... What would something be that Sprinkles... What's a... I don't want to make a cat pun. I don't want to lean that
Please
far
do.
Into it.
Do it, you coward.
He was at the IAMS riot of 97.
The Meow Mix riot.
You got it.
Yeah.
It came to... So you're actually...
He's big in the movement for the preservation of beaches.
Here's what it is. No, I know exactly what it is. This is a 20 that's going to feel like a 1. You went to a protest the Bob Barker Spay and Neuter Your Pet Foundation.
Hell yeah.
You think that this is a travesty. It is body mutilation to the point of these people are causing mass extinction. And because of that, at the time, you met Pill Baxton at a fight. All right, hold on.
Do I need to stop typing in chat? I feel
no,
like
this
I might
is great.
Need
to. No, I love this. Fucking.
Mind's body, mind's choice.
You named him Pill Baxton. This is not on me.
No, I know what I did. I know what I've done here. Don't worry. Like, okay. this was an intentional thing. It is a cat's right to choose as far as Sprinkles is concerned. And Bob Barker, as it turns out, on the wrong side of history on this one. Weird. And you and Pill get along on that. Let me actually do this. Does he recognize you? Do you want him to recognize you? Do you introduce yourself to him?
I make myself noticeable, but not directly. You know, when you're trying to look coy, but not, you know, casual notice me.
I'll tell you what, then he does notice you, and he actually gets kind of excited. And he goes rifling back in through his trunk and pulls out a sign that just says testicles and hands it to you.
Oh, I take that, consider it for a moment, and then I go, yeah, not this time. I have to be separate. But in the future, reach out, huh?
So now, you've met Pill Baxton. He's handing out signs. And the workers are taking them, and they have all started to try and move back towards where they believe Crawford Campbell to be. In fact, Hank is leading them in his bum wheel. Hank is slowly, his hobbled office that he has packed up with his own belongings is leading this charge towards the field office. He is just brandishing. He is holding the gun out like we're this way is how he's doing it. And you are all moving. Well, not you are all, but all of the people who cannot get into their homes are moving towards Crawford's office. What do you all do?
Watch it burn?
There's so many people, I don't think that we can stop them. I think an escape would be prudent, yeah?
I think we need to make it look like we tried to stop them. But not, like, actually stop them.
I mean, you left Medbot alone. You left High Stevie back in the... Like, your boss knows you are all fucking off. To be absolutely clear, your boss knows who this insurance thing is for and knows that you are not near them.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, obviously we need to, like...
Oh, no.
To stop
people
them.
Cut off by the mob. Oh, no.
No. No. Let me... Oh, okay, if we see Stevie, I will try to reason with the mob. And if you can hear the air quotes, cool.
All right. So do you all want to try to make your way towards that field office?
I think we need to... No, I think we need to go with the mob because we need to CYA, if anything. And we'll see how this goes.
Where in this procession do you all want to... Because let's say it's just like a full-on parade riot mob of just workers yelling things like, benefits! There's this one guy who has a sign that just says salt.
Well, good news for that guy.
I'm yeah, picturing somebody it. Picked up my sign that turned around.
Testicles.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Someone's like very confused, but still aggressively waving that sign around. It's very strange.
I think we need to try to like. I think I need to try to like beat them there, if we're gonna like pretend that we're trying to stop this.
All right. Okay. Does anybody want to try and go with Poutine on that one?
I feel like I'm charmed. I'm following and like super gung ho about doing this shit.
Okay.
Yeah, you're very. Tom is very invested in cat testicles.
Super, yeah.
I'm just going to chuck my sign into the crowd.
Cool. It hits a... You know what? Roll a d20. Just a raw d20.
Raw dogging it.
A 10. It hits a 10-year-old. In the eye.
In the eye.
It hits him right above the eye and causes him to bleed. Joan has to spend some of her gauze to clean up his eye. It's just this very salty 10-year-old named Clark Briswold. Clark Briswold. Is his name.
Wow.
Daddy says I'm the best. Anyway, didn't your mom ever tell you that life is like a box of chocolates and you'll shoot your eye out?
Listen, lady, I don't have a job, I don't have a mom, and I'm bleeding from the eye. Fuck off.
You You should not speak to your elders like that.
Dude, I fucking love this 10-year-old.
All right, so Clark.
Audrey, roll initiative.
I'm gonna kick his little ass.
You know what? I'm gonna hold you to that. Roll strength.
Hang on, I got a 10-year-old. Don't do it. The emotional damage is just not worth it.
Oh gosh.
Well, this one doesn't have parents, so really nothing to lose.
God, Clark Griswold is way tougher than you. He's to be clear.
This kid has seen some shit.
You hit him, but it hurts you.
Yeah.
Like, he takes it and is like, piss off, mate. He calls you a wanker.
Does the little, like,
take one. And I'm going to give you disadvantage of strength rolling forward. Any strength check, I'm going to give you a disadvantage because you punch the salty boy.
Psyched out.
You punch the salty, salty boy. As you leave, Clark lights up a cigarette.
Oh, fuck yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Damn, I want to be this kid's friend. He's cool.
All right, so then let's roll.
Blow some dust in his face. Kind of
determine if you all get to the office before Hank. Actually, you know what? No, you get there before, because earlier you hobbled his machine, so you can all run faster than this thing. You get there. You get to Crawford's office, and door is still unlocked, and Crawford, at this point, is still trying to open his... Oh, wait, did we open his cabinet? No, we did. Medbot has opened his cabinet. He's still looking for his gun.
Right, which Hank now has painted gold.
Yes.
Okay, so we get into the office, and I run up to Crawford, and I'm like, look, man, it's all coming apart. They're your employees. They respect you. You can talk to them and talk them down. And I charm person. Wisdom saving throw of 13.
It works. I rolled 2. So, like... So what do you want this pep talk to be? I kind of want to set this scene.
All right. Crawford, they're here. They're pissed. You have fired them. But they, goddamn it, they respect you. You're in charge here. You could talk them down. So I want you to go out there, and I want you to be aggressive and take control of this situation. And we can't... Well, you're going to go out there alone, because if we go out there with you... That'll show them weakness. And you can't have that, because you're in charge here. So we're going to be over here, and you are going to go out there, and you're going to talk this mob down. Because goddammit, that's why the company put you in this position. Now go get him, Tiger. I slap his ass.
All right.
Oh.
Real quick. I got you. And I will muster all the courage of Jeff Normalman. And although I was saving this dance routine and song... When I finally retired, I decided I would warm the crowd with it to prepare them for the speech. And I will cast Minor Illusion as an arm and cast it above my head. And you will see an army of happily saved workers who have been unionized marching. And I will begin banging my war gong that I pull out of my pack. But it's not actually like a big full-size war gong. It's a little tiny gong with a Bluetooth speaker. And it pairs to all of the speakers in the area. And I'm just smacking this thing. But you hear the rhythm and you hear... I want to know what love is.
You've got this, my friend. And I'll put in my last bardic inspiration into this bastard.
I love it. Audrey, would you like to... How would you like to inspire Crawford Campbell as...
Guys, I got him charmed. I think we might be working at cross purposes now.
Like, he's... To be clear, he's going to go out there. He is hyped up at this point, and Audrey is the only person to not, like... I feel like you need to get in here with some kind of inspiration.
Yeah, let's cover our bases.
I'm just going to very lightly put my hand on his shoulder and say, "You can do it, hon."
He goes, "Yeah. Yeah, I got this. I'm the man."
"You're the man."
I'm the man. Yeah, I'm going to go out there. I'm the man. I hired them. I can fire. I'm the man."
"Yeah, goddamn right.
He just keeps yelling. I'm the man. I'm the man. I'm the man." It just keeps yelling that. And he walks outside, and I'll set the stage at the... It is the hill that everyone has been...
Dyson?
Marching up, protesting up with their sign, their various signs that say things like food or a bridge. It's a sign that says a bridge.
Singing their protest song.
They're all marching to the gong. I already know what love is.
I'm gonna fucking end. I am just gonna murder Pill Baxton.
And from Pill Baxton is
nine. He's my leader friend
in the back. I mean, he's in the back. He's making sure that everybody is getting signs that doesn't have a sign, and all of the miners that had just been fired. Are all working their way up to the top of the hill where this field office is, and right at the front, Hank Krause brandishing Lucy, and the crowd is just fixated on Hank as he mumbles into the speakers of his office, and he is shouting. He is shouting to the crowd to move, to push forward, to follow him. I'm leading the way. Follow me. Heading up to the top of the hill. Hank's gonna show you the way.
Call him Scaramanga, because he's the man with the golden gun.
And at this point, Crawford Campbell is still inside the office, going, "I'm the man. I'm the man." And yells one last time. It, like, as guttural as he can, "I'm the man!" And kicks open his front door. And the moment that he does coincides with Hank arriving directly in front of the office, and he immediately shoots Crawford Campbell in the head with Lucy, with the last remaining bullet killing him. Crawford Campbell's blood is spattered all over Medbot, which High Stevie clicks on. This is your boss, Dennis. What the fuck?